Good evening. Welcome to another Monday. Tonight, the topic of the lecture is dreams, mainly. There's always other things involved around that topic. I will see, based on the time we will have, how much we will be able to include. Because this is a very large topic, you know, you can speak about it for a long, long time. But I will do my best to squeeze as much as possible in this hour and a half that we have. One of the most interesting subjects that almost every person, every human being speak about almost every week in his life is the experience of having dreams. People go to sleep, and almost every night, almost every human being all over the world, no matter what culture they're from, they have dreams. Some of the dreams good, some bad, some scary, but everyone almost have dreams. And the question that almost nobody really knows until today to answer is, what is the meaning of all these dreams? What dreams are all about? The opinions of what dreams are range anywhere from hallucination, chemical changes in the brain of the human being, and while he's going to sleep, there's some things happening in the brain, and he begins to get an hallucination, and then he wakes up because of the chemical inside his brain created some kind of an illusion. That's one opinion. This opinion, excuse my language, is complete nonsense, because the way the people react in dreams, in some of the dreams at least, and that leaves no room for that assumption, what I just mentioned before, is that in dreams people are getting messages and people are getting information that there's no way in the world that because of chemical imbalance or changes in the brain while a person goes to sleep, he was able to receive such important information. That's one answer to this theory. The second answer is, it's very simple. Almost every person, at least once in his lifetime, had a dream with information and a discussion to a deceased person that passed away, was able to ask him something or to visit him or to give him some kind of information. And there are people that it happens to them almost every day. I get to know in my lectures always interesting people that have maybe higher spiritual level, that they have dreams sometimes 3-4 a night, and they come through, and it's like in a way it's a prophecy, because sometimes they know in advance what's going to happen. So to say that all this information comes just from some kind of a defect or some kind of a temporary problem in the brain when the brain is not functioning, it doesn't look professional for me. So we have to try better. We as Jews, for those who attended to my other previous lectures, we do not need to investigate too much about certain issues in life. We're not like the Gentiles, like the people who have no Torah, and everything they have to reach with their own efforts. We as Jews did not come to this world to spend 70 or 80 years to search and to investigate and to try and to make all kinds of experiments to reach the truth. That's not the reason we were created here. We got lucky enough once in a history that we received the book of God that answered us almost all the questions about life. From A to Z, starting from the purpose of life, describing the way the world was created, describing the creation of Adam, of the first man in history. What's the ingredients of his body? Where did they come from? Which I'm going to speak a little bit further about it. What's the combination of materialistic body and a spiritual soul? How does it work together? What's the test in life? The freedom to choose what to do. The intelligence that we have. where the soul came from, the meaning of life, family values, education of children, and the most important thing, the creator of everything told us the difference between good and bad, even though we sometimes happen to think we know better than him. It's natural. A lot of people sometimes imagining that they know better than their creator what's good for them. Plus, there's another problem, is that a lot of people are sure that A or B or C, that's what's considered good. When at the same time, if they really learn the Torah, they would see that their opinion is exactly the opposite of the opinion of the Creator. What they consider good, he consider complete bad. What they consider bad, he's considering as a very good thing to do. Also, when we compare between all kinds of bads, sometimes we happen to think that A is much worse than B, when the truth is the opposite. Why does it happen to us? Only one answer: ignorance. Ignorance. We do not learn enough the information that we received in Mount Sinai as the Jewish nation, as it passed to us from our parents and grandparents until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, 3,317 years ago, because of lack of information, problems with understanding, problems with experience about Judaism, we run into a lot of problems and jumping to the wrong conclusion. I always like to say this, I mean, that's the truth, that ignorance is very painful in everything in life, not only in religion. In business, in your own business, if you're a lawyer and you're not an expert, you're not learned well the rules, you know it could become a matter of life and death for your client. Who knows how many people are not with us anymore because their lawyers were too lazy from learning the material, or how many accountants cost their clients millions of dollars in damages. Why? Because they were too lazy to read and to learn the subject or the contracts or the deal that they're going through, and so forth and so on. Same thing with doctors. I don't have to tell you, you see it all the time on the news. Ignorance is painful. What's the solution? To learn, not to be ignorant. The problem is that we are too lazy. Because we are too lazy, we rather lose so much than put the efforts. Why am I giving you this introduction? Because the same thing I just say applies exactly when it comes to the dreams and the messages that we get in our life through the dreams. Because it's complicated, because it needs a lot of learning, we choose to neglect it, to ignore it. Even though sometimes a dream can be a savior of a life. If a person would treat his dream according to the sender of the dream, according to his wish, he could save his life. He ignored the dream, God forbid he can pay the price. Or somebody else's life. Or tragedy can be prevented. Why the person ignored the dream? Very simple, he just never learned about dreams. Where would he learn about dreams? As I mentioned before, everything in life that you're not sure about what needs to be done, what's not, the answer is in the Torah. Torah in Hebrew means instructions. Oraot, Torah means instructions. Instructions for what? How to use the laundry machine? How to work out the computer or the laptop or the CD player? No. Instructions for life, for this world, for the entire questions in life that we have. When we come to the Torah and open the chapter that speaks about dreams, even though it spreads in the entire Gemara, the Kabbalah, and the written Torah, and mainly in the oral Torah, like everything, most of the information comes from the oral Torah, we become very surprised from what we see over there. Everything you want to know if it's real or not, first thing you have to prove is that the Torah, in the written Torah, inside the Torah you can bring a proof that dream is something real. You have to find a proof. When we search quickly in the Torah, right away in the book of Genesis, chapter 31, we have a story over there. Remember, the Torah, even though the Torah describes a history of about 1,000 years altogether, that wasn't the main reason why the Torah was given. History books, we have plenty without the Torah. History book, it's not such a complicated thing to write. You add everything together in a chronological order and you write the history. For that, you don't need to be anything divine. The purpose of the Torah, the main purpose, which by the way tells us the history, the main purpose is to teach us what's good for us, how we're going to pass our test in life. And when the Torah tells us a story about 2 or 5 individuals, for sure the Torah doesn't come to bring you an interesting story for late afternoon to entertain you. That wasn't the purpose of it. It's not New York Times here, you understand? The Torah, every word in the Torah has a huge meaning. Every sentence has a deepness. The more you learn, the more you understand, the easier it gets later. What do I mean? I'll give you an example. This is what the Torah says. Verse 10, chapter 31, first book of Moses. This is what it says. The story of Yaakov and Lavan. Jacob and his brother-in-law Lavan, the crook, the famous crook, which even in his name, when you look at the name Lavan Arami, if you play with the order of the letters, it means Naval Aramai. Lavan Arami, play with the letters. Inside the letters you see who is this person for him. So this is the father-in-law of Yaakov. Yaakov comes and volunteers to work for him for 7 years to marry Rachel. He tricked him, he gives him Leah, he has to work 7 more years, it's 14 years by now. Then he worked 6 more years for all the sheep. Altogether 20 years he became a servant of one of the biggest crooks in history. For 20 years, after 20 years he finally leaves him, he gets upset, he chases him, try to get everything back. God comes to him in a dream and tell him, be very careful. Do not disturb Jacob. Don't bother him, don't harm him in any way. Thanks to the discovery that he had in his dream in the night, that God came to this crook in a dream to warn him. Maybe we're sitting here tonight. Who knows what would happen if God would not warn him? Because we are descendants of Jacob, right? Jacob, his name was changed to Israel in the Torah. That's one proof right there that there is messages from God himself inside the dream. So when a person has a dream with a message, for sure, it's the last thing he wants to do is to neglect the information that he just received. Right there in the same story, just before they had the argument, how many sheep Jacob deserved to receive for all these years of working, the crook is trying to hit him again. So what does he tell him? All the sheep that have dots, I'm gonna take. And the plain one, you're going to take. Let's make a deal. The rest is not in our hand. Whatever God wants, that's what's going to happen. How did he know? Torah says that he had a dream the night before that all the sheep will look in that shape. And based on that, he knew what to tell him. And this is what it says. Vayomer elai malach ha'elokim b'chalom Yaakov vayomer eneni va'omar eneni. And the angel of God came to me in a dream and called me Jacob, and I say, here I am. It's a sentence in the written Torah. Almost nobody in the world, no Christians, no Muslims, no religious Jews, of course I'm talking about religious people, everybody understands this is the original book that God gave in front of millions of people to the Jewish nation. And right there in the text, we see many times, not once, not twice, not 3 times, many, many times, that the Torah brings the dream as a substantial way to pass information from God to people in this earth. So what did he see? V'ina atudim ha'olim al atzon akudim nekudim uvrudim. I saw that all the sheep that is about to be born are going to have dots and all kinds of stains, and based on that he knew which one to choose. Then the next source is in Sefer Bamidbar, the fourth book of the Torah from 5, chapter 12. This is what it says: Va'ish Moshe anav meod, and the man Moshe, Moses, is humbled, very humbled, more than ever any other human being on the face of the earth. And God came to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam and say, get out all three of you to the tent of Moed, a special famous tent that God always came to speak to Moshe in that tent. Come, get out. And they all came out. And God came from a cloud and stood in the entrance of the tent. Vayikra Aaron uMiriam vayitzu shneihem. He called Aaron and Miriam, and both of them came out. And this is what he says: listen to my words. Every prophet that I spoke to, that I will speak to, I speak to him through a mirror or through a dream. I give the prophets the information in two ways. One of the ways is I come to the prophets and give them information in the dream while they sleep, and based on that they know how to pass the prophecy to the public. Sometimes it's through the mirror. What's the mirror? A person comes to the mirror to see himself. What does he see instead of himself? He sees a movie. What's going to happen to this particular city? You see a movie, and he knows God just gave me a message, and he went to that city and he told them what is about to happen. Whether they listen or not, that's another story. Another way that God communicates to people is when the prophet comes to the water to wash his face, on the face of the water he sees a movie. That's exactly like a mirror. So those are the ways that God reveals himself to general, ordinary prophets. So he comes now to Aaron and Miriam, the brother and the sister of the biggest prophet in history, Moshe, and this is what he tells them. Every prophet that I spoke to, this is the way I was communicating and will communicate with him. Except your brother. Not Avdi Moshe, my servant Moshe, is extra faithful to me more than all the other people. I'm speaking to him face to face, not through the mirror and not through the dream. Why did you have the nerve to speak Lashon Hara against him? Why do we care about this story right now? One thing, to understand the concept that God comes to Aaron and Miriam and he says, every prophet I speak to him in this way, but your brother is much higher than the other prophets. I don't need to come to him through the dream. I speak to him face to face, which is in a much higher way of communication. What do we understand from this story? That God teach humanity, the entire history, the entire people in the world, when they read the Bible, what do they see? That dream is a substantial way to communicate with God. That's another source. Another way that God communicated with the prophet of the Goyim is Bilam. Few times God came to him in a dream. Do not go. If you want to go, you can go. All the information that he got was in the middle of the dream. That's why it says that Bilam told Balak, the servants of Balak, the king, when he sent him his messengers, he told him, okay, let me sleep over it. This is, by the way, where the expression comes from. Let me sleep over it. You don't need to sleep. You can think about it 10 minutes and give the answer. What does it mean, let me sleep over it? It comes from the Torah. When Bilam told them, let me sleep on your request. Tomorrow I'll be able to give you an answer if I can come with you or not. Which means, let's see what God wants to tell me in a prophecy. Because I'm not Moshe. I cannot speak to him face to face. Okay? So far, that's few of the sources. The prophet will know the difference between a dream, just an ordinary dream, to a dream that supply with a prophecy. And therefore, if it's a regular dream, he will just tell the dream. But if it's a prophecy, then he has to go and pass the prophecy. It's in his obligation to pass the prophecy to the public. The difference between the dream and the prophecy is like this. Every personal dream that a person has, it's always a combination of solid, real information mixed with information that it's not true. Pay attention. Every dream you have some kind of false mix with it. There's no dream that is 100% true. It's always going to be mixed with some false information. But a prophecy has to be 100% real, without any mixture of false information. Another source in the Torah, and God came to Avimelech in a dream in the middle of the night and told him, you're going to die because of the married woman that are in your home. Who is the married woman? Sarah. And then later the same story repeat with Yitzchak and Rivka. So God came to him in a dream and said, listen, the woman you're about to touch, she's a married woman. And obviously he didn't know. And another source in the book of Kings, A, chapter 3, Begivon nira Hashem el Shlomo, and God came to King Solomon in Givon in the middle of the dream, in a dream in the middle of the night. And God asked him, he was 12 years old, his father just passed away, King David, and God came to him and told him, what do you want me to give you? Here is your chance to request whatever you want. 12 years old. So if God comes to a person in today's generation, when he's just inherit his father and he's the new king of the most important nation in the world, that's how it was at least at that time, because in the time of King David, I don't have to tell you how the fame and the glory of the nation of Israel in the time of the temple and all that. I mean, it was prior to the temple, but the foundation was already prepared and King Solomon is about to build the first temple. So you may think he would ask for a lot of wealth, for all his enemies that are trying to make revolution against him, they will fail. A physical strength or anything like that. But his request was, please give me a decent brain to know how to judge your nation and to be a fair judge. To know never to deprive a person in the middle of the tribe. And God says, since you ask something for my nation and not for your personal need, I'm going to give you everything that a person is dreaming about. Wealth, fame, power, and you will be the smartest person in history. And that's how it was. Until today, no person was ever smarter than King Solomon, and there will never be until the Messiah. Mashiach himself is the only person will be a little bit higher than King Solomon, but until then nobody can reach that level. And that's the blessing of God to King Solomon, when in the middle of the dream, and it's apart from the Bible. So we see no chemical problems, no brain problems and so forth. We see that this is a solid source. Now the way the dreams are brought to us comes in two different ways. Some of the dreams, actually I should say three different ways. Some of the dreams, when a person goes to sleep after eating spicy food such as hot peppers, garlic, onions, all kinds of spicy food, which create pressure inside the stomach, and the steam from the stomach goes towards the brain. In the middle of the sleep, this kind of pressure comes into the brain and move things around inside the brain and can create real hallucination. And that's a dream that has no meaning whatsoever. A person wake up, he has some kind of, he remembered the things that he was thinking during the day. He went to the dentist, so he thought about teeth in the middle of his dream. He went to watch a game, sports. So in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock at night, he wakes up and he thinks about sport or that he's in the middle of the game. This is actual scenes that are recorded in his brain that the brain did not digest yet and move to the subconscious yet. So once those steam goes into the brain, they're just pressing the wrong buttons. And it's like playing with the channels on the TV. It moves channel 1, channel 5, channel 10, different scenes from what you saw during the day. Everything is start popping up, and that's a complete mess in the brain, and a person wake up and he thinks that he had a serious dream, but it's all nonsense. That's one way of dreams. That's what the Gemara say, that Adam... אין מראים לו לאדם בחלום אלא אחרי הרהורי ליבו. What you think about during the day, that's what you're going to see in the middle of the night. These kind of dreams will come in the first part of the night. If you share the night to three different thirds, most likely these kind of dreams will be in a very close to the time when you went to sleep. So if you went to sleep at midnight, that will come around 1, 2 to 30, which is still fresh in the brain. That means the brain did not absorb the information and send it to the subconscious. You have to understand, in the brain there is conscious and there is subconscious. The difference between conscious and subconscious is very simple. It's like in a computer. You have the computer information that you use every day, daily, and then you have storage. Things that you may need once in a while, you send and you hardly use it. One time you forgot where you store it, you put the name and the computer will search for it and pull it up from one of the files that you didn't use for 5 years maybe. The computer will bring it up. Information that you use every day, you don't need a computer to search for it. You know right away where you store it. That's the difference between conscious and subconscious. A person may walk in the street and walk in the floor and see billions of things on the floor. Coins, pieces of glass, sand, little stones, all kinds of dirt, garbage, papers, telephone numbers, business cards on the floor. And none of these things interest him. He doesn't care what he just saw. He comes to his wife home. Hey, can you tell me everything you saw in the middle of the road from the time you started to walk until you got home? Can you describe all the things you saw on the floor? You tell her, well, what's wrong with you? I cannot tell you one thing I saw on the floor. A minute later, she's gonna say, "Oh, I need a nail to hang a picture on the wall. Do you have any? By any chance, you have a nail?" So he's gonna say, "Oh, 5 minutes ago in that corner, I saw a nail on the floor. A minute before, he wasn't able to tell her that he saw the nail. Why? Because the brain automatically sends everything a person see and hear in his life, sends it automatically to storage. Automatically, does not bother the person with this, not to confuse him with his daily life." But it stores everything you see, even what you don't see, what you hear, even in the middle of the dream, when a person is sleeping in a room, everything that happened in that room, every voice that was heard in a room, the brain automatically records and sends. It's interesting. That's called subconscious. When a person needs it, the brain pulls it up and brings it to the front. This is the way it works. Now, the second part of the dream comes from an angel. There's an angel and he sends the information into the person's conscious, and when a person wakes up, here he has a dream. These kind of dreams, which consider to be real dreams, usually will occur in the third of the night, close to the morning, 5, 6 in the morning, very close to waking up in the morning. That's when you get the real dreams usually. And there's another kind of dreams that comes from a demon, shed. Demons. In Hebrew, in the holy language, the word shed, it means demons. Why does it call shed? Everything has a meaning. It's the language of God. Because in Hebrew, a person that is a robber, that take control over your belongings, his name is Shoded, robber, Shoded. Shed, Shoded comes from the same word. Why? Because the demons take control of the person's brain and his thoughts sometimes. We will see how it happens. Demons that are giving us information in the dreams, we will see how does it work which kinds of the information is real, which kind of it is nonsense. First of all, we have to understand one thing. In the creation of the world, when God created all the physical world, everything in this world were created with four different kinds of materials. What? Fire, air, water, and sand. Us, as human beings, we have four different ingredients in us. Fire, water, sand, and air, mixed together. This is the body of a person. And then, in our senses, as you can see, the senses that we are combined in a spiritual image that we have inside the body, we have five senses, and based on that senses, we live our life. The demons, however, were created only with two foundations, air and fire. That's it. Air and fire. And those, what I just said, those are the demons that were created. When was those demons were created? When in a creation? From the moment God started to create the world, the process took 6 days. When, in which one of these days God created them? This is what the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot. Asara dvarim nivreu be'erev Shabbat ben Hashmashot. 10 things were created on Shabbos Eve. Moments between, there's a period of 13 and a half minutes, approximately, which is between the beginning of the sunset to the end of the sunset, until the star begins to appear. In Israel, the period between the beginning of the sunset to the end of the sunset is very short, because it all depends where the state is on the globe. But in the United States, it's double, at least double, it's much longer. From the time it's starting to become dark until it's really dark, especially in the summertime, sometimes it can get up to 40 minutes even. But this period of time, it's called Ben HaShmashot. Shmashot, Shemesh, in Hebrew means sun. So the term is between the suns. There's only one sun. So the term means between the beginning, when you stand in the ocean and you look at the sun, you see the beginning of the sun starting to disappear, and then until the end of the sun disappears, that period of time, because we are in movement, the earth is in movement, that period of time that it takes the earth while slowly, slowly disappearing from the face of the sun, that's called Ben HaShmashot. That period of time on Friday night, after Adam was created and already made the sins, moment before Shabbat started, the famous sin that we have to be here until today, trying to correct the first sin. That moment, there were 10 things that God created, supposedly in the last seconds, until he puts his work down and he stopped and he striked and he did not create anymore anything since then. What are the 10 things that were created? So, one of the 10 things is the demons. Not only demons, all the mezikim. Now, demons is only one family. We're going to understand a little bit further how it works. But the Midrash tells us, Beyom Shishi lifnei knisat Shabbat, moments before Shabbat started, God created the souls, the spirit, I should say, the spirit of all the demons. Created their body, and just in the last second, when he did not want to create anything anymore because Shabbat started, and God already wrote in the Torah that Shabbat, no one is allowed to create anything. That's why it's such an important mitzvah, Shabbat, more than any other mitzvah in life. It's the covenant between me and my nation. Why it's so important? Because God gives us an opportunity to be like him. That's why it's such an important mitzvah. That's why the punishment is huge. That's why the warnings are repeating constantly in the Torah, just about this all the time. Be careful not to break the Sabbath. Be careful not to violate the rules of Shabbat. So many warnings, so many punishments, so much to lose. Why? It's very important because God, it was very important to him that his nation, which is us, will be like him. And when a person neglects that, and a person, when God is giving his hand to shake to his nation, and his nation, some of them at least, do not want to keep the covenant, that's a very insulting thing. Plus, it's a huge ungratefulness that the one who revived you and give you everything you have in life, offer you to be like him in a highest spiritual level, and he spit in his face. Not interested. Nothing can be worse than this. That's why, according to the halacha, a person like this is already considered dead. Spiritually and eternally, he's considered dead. The fact that he eats, I once told you, dogs also eat. That doesn't mean anything. But he's considered disconnected from God as long as he violates his rules. Why I'm telling you all this? Because just when the Sabbath, when God was creating their feet, Shabbat started already. That's why he created them only 3 toes. The plan was to create more. Shabbat started in the middle of the creation of the demons. They only created with 3 different toes. The Gemara in Masechet Brachot says like this: if a person wants to see the demons, this is the way he can see them. Don't go and try it at home. He takes a female cat, black, the daughter of a black female cat, female daughter of a female. After he kills it, he takes out from the body the placenta. Placenta, when they give birth, they have that gel, that whatever you want to call it, the placenta, shilia. He burns it. After he burns and gets rid of all the liquid in it, what is he going to have? Ashes. He takes the ashes and put it on his eyes and open up his eyes, and he's going to be able to see what the eyes usually cannot see, because the way you designed by God, to begin with, God is not interested that people like us will be able to see all the demons around us and the angels and all the souls of people who died already. He's not interested. Why? Because it's going to eliminate right away your free choice. You're not going to be able to function ever again from fear. That's why we have no permission to see what's going to hurt our life. But the Gemara, since it's a divine book, it already gave us the opportunity to know that it's possible, even for us, God forbid, if we want to try it, to do it. And one rabbi in a Gemara described that he did it. He became mentally ill, wasn't able to move anymore, until all the rabbi came around his bed and prayed for him for who knows how long, until he became healthy again. The Gemara said, once you do it, you got to put the ashes in a tube and seal it. Why? Because if you leave it like this, outside, the demons are getting more power from that ashes, and they can cause much more damage to people. We're soon going to see what damage they cause us every day. But now it's going to be a lot worse. That's why it's very dangerous. Then the next thing the Gemara there over there says, that the demons have feet with 3 toes. That's the source. And if a person wants to see how when he goes to sleep they come and climb on his body and they walk over him or around his bed, he should take very clean sand, afar menupe, clean, he got rid of all the stones, mamash, like beach sand, something like that, and put around his bed, make it smooth around his bed. And he comes in the morning, he's going to see that signs of their toes, tracks of their toes, mamash, like chickens with 3 toes. That's how it looks around his bed, which indicates that this is what they do. The question is why they come to us when we sleep and not when we up? Because the soul leaves the body, a part of the soul leaves the body, and the body is considered dead at that time. They're not afraid, so they come. But when your soul is back and when you're alive, they're afraid to come. The Gemara says, the Zohar, the Kabbalah says, where is the home of those demons? There's more demons than human beings in the entire earth. More demons than people. So where do they live? Where do they live? So the Gemara says they live in broken houses, in forests, in the deserts, in places that people are not there, because they're afraid of people. You have to understand. That's why the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, it's only in Masechet Brachot, one of the rabbis went inside a broken house, a house that fell down, and he was praying over there in the middle of the road. on his trip, he passed to pray over there. And when he came out, Eliyahu HaNavi was waiting for him and tell him, I have a few things to talk to you about. So the Gemara says, you see from Eliyahu HaNavi that even that it was so important to warn him not to go inside, he did not disturb him in the middle of his prayer. Once he finished, he told him, don't you know that a person, a Jew, is not allowed to walk into these places, because that's when the demons have power, they're all together and they can attack. Places like these, neglected places, is not good for a person to go. So this is the way they function. The Gemara says like this. Let's describe some of these demons. First, a part of these demons are people, non-Jewish people, that were turned into demons. They were created people and God turned them into demons. When in the Babylonian Tower, when they create the Babylon Tower, one of the things God did, he took some of the people and turned them into monkeys. Maybe that's what's confusing the scientists. The second thing, some of those people were turned into demons. God confused them and changed their languages. This is, by the way, one of the reasons why we have so many languages today in the world, because they were very united. And God wanted to show us when people are united, even if they're wicked, they're successful. Unity, it's a very strong thing. That's why, as long as the Arabs were united, they were defeating us almost in every battle. Now, Baruch Hashem, when they started to fight, we can start to breathe a little bit. Why? Because when there's unity, even the devil is winning. Doesn't matter how righteous you are. Unity on the other side is a very serious problem. So, once God came to them and attacked them after the sin they made with the tower, some of them fell into the forest as monkeys, and some of them fell into the desert and turned into demons. Then, one other way that demons were created is from Adam. Adam that made his first sin, he did not touch his wife Eve for 130 years. Adam lived altogether 930 years. He was supposed to live 1,000 years. But because of his sin, he knew the only one can save him is King David. And King David was supposed to die the moment he was supposed to be born. And he donated 70 years to King David. And that's why his life was altogether 930 years. Take away from that 130 years that he did not touch his wife after the sin he made with her, as a part of his repentance. 130 years. That period of time, of 130 years, he was creating demons. What's demons? From the impurity that the snake, it's very difficult to understand about that snake. Some people think the snake is like the snake on the floor. That was the snake. Snake was another image with feet, walking, speaking, understanding, thinking, with desires. It's interesting. It's hard to understand what was that snake. But after that, after all that period of time, for 130 years, Adam, from his impurity after the first sin, was creating demons, whatever that means. The Arizal, the Ari, the most important Kabbalist in the last 2,000 years, the Ari HaKadosh, 500 years ago he lived, in his book, Rabbi Chaim Vital, his student, brings that there's another source to these demons. What is the source? A person who makes sins and does not make repentance, every time he makes a sin, a new sin, he creates another one of these bad angels, which what we call Shedim. And those demons are the ones who come and try to attack him all the time. One of the most famous way to create them, Chas v'Shalom, is a person that is wasting his seed, not with his wife, not in a kosher way, in a way of a sin against the Torah. Every time you waste seed, it creates millions of demons. Those demons are like spiritual images that wait to take revenge against the person in his funeral. just the moment of his funerals, they are waiting by the gate of the cemetery. That's what the Zohar writes, the Kabbalah, and waiting to rip him apart. That's why the tradition in Jerusalem is that people who die, they not allow their children to walk inside the cemetery. They come only to the gate and finish. They don't let them in. Why? Because those demons are very angry on his children. Why? Because remember, we were created because of your seed, and they were created also because of that. So they're very jealous and angry of them. So that's it's all deep Kabbalah stuff. So that's why the tradition over there is not to even let them in. Those are the demons who created and are waiting for the trial of the person to come and testify against him. Then, there are demons who were created, as I told you, in Ben Hashmashot, in the sunset of Shabbat. There are demons who were created on Monday, on the second day of the creation. And then, to conclude, there are demons who were created in the time of Adam, 130 years. And there are demons there were human beings that turned into demons in the Babylonian tower. So that's basically all the sources of these demons. Now, what we care about demons, it comes to the most important thing now that we care about tonight, is dreams. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the writer of the Zohar, of the Kabbalah, he writes like this. There is a person that according to his acts, to his behaving, is able to reach a very high spiritual level which is called Neshama. Soul. He gets to the level of a divine soul. There are people who, because of the way they live, they only get the level of the Nefesh, which is less than Neshama. Nefesh. There are people who even to this they don't get. And what do they get? God forbid, the tum'ah, the impurity, the spirits of the impurity. When a person goes to sleep, all these demons come and stick to him, and starting to play with his brain and create dreams inside his head. Some of the things they put in his head, it's a lie. Some of it, it's true. Sometimes they make fun of him. They enjoy to torture him. And they see how he gets scared, how he has nightmares, how the dreams all the time repeats. Mamash, they like to torture him. Sometimes you're going to find that even non-Jews will have real dream. And it comes from that impure demons that put it in their brain. And sometimes these goyim, when they wake up, they're able to tell you what's going to happen because the demons put that inside their head. And this is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, one of the top Jews that ever lived. The highest level. Not that many people were able to write the Zohar with all the secrets of the creation. You know the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? That's not the time now for it. 13 years in a cave, eating carobs and drinking water with his son, hiding from the Romans, learning with an angel and writing the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, student of Rabbi Akiva. And he says, there are demons that are preventing the soul in the time of the sleep to visit inside the halls, the spiritual halls in heaven. And there are three different levels up there. First level is demons that are hanging in the air between heaven and earth. They hear what's the conversation over there, but they are not coming down to earth. The middle level is demons that are coming to the upper worlds and also visiting in the lower worlds. They hear what was decreed for a person up there, and they come and they put it in people's brain right here in the middle of their sleep. And the lowest level is demons that are playing and making fun to human beings and torture them in the dreams. And they have a chutzpah worse than dogs. That's how bad they are, those kind of demons. The more pure the person is, the more he gets safe from this kind of demons. The less pure he gets, the more they bothering him. So far everything clear? Now we move on. The way these demons are is like this. They come and they go inside the ear of a person. They go inside, and inside of the ear of the person they begin to talk to into his subconscious. They talk. When a person wake up, he's telling certain story what he had. So the Kabbalah says, what's the way to prove that they exist? You come to a little kid, you know, not little, but a kid, while he's sleeping, close to the morning, before he's about to wake up, and you whisper and you give him instructions in the middle of the sleep to his ear. You tell him, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. You tell him what you want him to do. And when he wake up, when he wakes up, he tells you what he wants to do, not knowing that you planted that in his brain while he was sleeping. The same way it works by us when we will whisper the information into his ear, and I tried it once, many years in my living room, to a person who was sleeping on a couch, and it worked. When he got up, he started to talk about the things we spoke to him. It's interesting. So, the same way it works by us, this is the way it works by them. He used to be a rabbi about 60 years ago in Israel. He is from the time of the Ben Ishchai. You heard about Ben Ishchai in Baghdad 100 years ago? Rav Yehuda Ftaya. He wrote a book. Let's put it that way. If you read his book, your life will never be the same. It's called Conversation of the Spirits. What was special about this rabbi? Hundreds of people in Israel witnessing. It's not, you cannot come and write a lie about him. In the middle of the day, he was closing his eyes, falling asleep 10-15 minutes, getting up and writing things, what he just saw. A much unbelievable thing. Rav Yehuda Ftaya, I have a picture of him in my home. You just look at him, he's starting to get scared. Face of an angel. And he, pay attention to the way, what he writes in his book. He writes like this. The demons, not only that they're very wicked and cruel, they're also very clever. And he says like this. The Sefer Hasidim, hundreds of years ago, this is what it writes. The dream that comes by the demon, when the demon goes inside the person here, if you touch the pulse of the person, and you see that he's getting nervous in the middle of the dream, what happened to the pulse? It's becoming faster and the person starting to breathe and he gets nervous. Very nervous in the middle of the dream. This is what they like the most. This is their best fun, to see that what they just whispered was able to create such a thing. And this is the advice of Rav Yehuda Ftaya, how to get rid of these dreams. Pay attention. He says like this. A person has to be very careful before he goes to sleep to say Shema Yisrael on the bed with big kavana. Not just to whisper, to be half asleep. Mamash, word by word, Shema Yisrael. Then, when a person got up to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or to the baby, or to wake up to drink a glass of water, and he goes back to sleep, he says to repeat the Shema Yisrael again. Once a person got up and is going back to sleep, he says that a person should do it, even though it's a problem in the halacha, because when a person went to sleep, it's a problem in the halacha, but this, I'm just saying what's his advice. Then he says like this, when he feels that the demons are playing with him, by the way, sometimes you look at the babies and you see the babies are smiling in the middle of the sleep. This is where you have to move them right away, or to turn the light on, or even to keep the window a little bit open, because just this moment the demons play with the baby. So right away you move the baby or you do something, they run away. But this is it. When it happens to a person, this is what he has to say when he wake up. He has to say, Tameh, Tameh, Brach, Lech Mikan. Tameh, who understand Hebrew? Tameh means impure. He has to say a few times, Tameh, 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 Brach, Lech Mikan. Run away from here. To talk to them. And that's what he says three times at least. And then the shed, the demon, will go and leave him alone. If he has an enemy, a goy that stole money from him or tried to hurt him or anything like that. Not a Jew. Don't send him to a friend Jew. Okay? But if it's an enemy of Israel or something like this, he will tell him, go to Ahmed. Whatever it is, whoever he knows that is his enemy, wants to kill him, he say, goes to him, go to Ahmed, the son of Fatma. He's giving him names. It sounds like a joke, but it's real. And he will go to him. It's interesting. And then, play with him, leave me alone. Yeah, you have to understand, like you're talking to another person. Sometimes they will listen to you now. If not, you repeat it again until they leave you alone.
When it goes to you or when it talks to the child?
No, when it does to you. Also to the child, same thing. Then, this is what it says. That Rav Yehuda Ftaya came to a person in the middle of his sleep and he says, I bought you apples and nuts. While close to the early in the morning, he started to whisper in his ear, and they are inside the box on the shelf. And when he woke up, first thing he said, where is my apples? Where is the box? He was looking for the box. This is what he writes. Then he says like this. Sometimes when the dream is very scary, a person should know which dreams to be scared of and which dreams not to get scared of. Soon I'm going to continue, but I want to first bring something very interesting that I saw here. It says like this. There are demons who call Jewish demons. Shedim Yehudaim. This is the Zohar. Zohar in Parashat Bamidbar, that's the source. The Zohar. 2,000 years ago, it's in the Kabbalah. And they have a habit. They appear in a dream as a prophet, as a big famous rabbi. They come to people in a dream, and the person thinks, I just saw Baba Sali now, but it's not really Baba Sali. It's a demon that comes in a face like one of the greatest rabbis in history, and he speaks to us in a dream. Now it's explain you not to be very happy the next time you see Rambam comes to visit. You know, most of the time it won't be Rambam or Eliyahu HaNavi. Pay attention to the story he brings here. Unbelievable story. So he says like this. So they come to a person and they say, my name is Avraham Avinu and I came to visit you, Tzadik. Or Yitzchak, or Yaakov, or Eliyahu HaNavi. So when it happens, Rav Yehuda Ftaya says, you have to ask him, are you really Avraham Avinu? Or are you a fake Avraham Avinu? And then you have to pay attention to every word that comes out of their mouth, because later you will know to analyze it if it was really Abraham or not. And this is what it says. Sometimes they come, they describe to you in a dream that they come from heaven, you see the sky, you see all kinds of spiritual things that you wake up, you think, wow, I'm like in the level of the prophet Ishaya. I have all these dreams. I have a lot of people that comes to me like this, or calling me, telling me about the dreams, and after reading this, maybe they will think twice. But this is what it says. It says you have to understand, pay attention to what they say. That's called Jewish demons, because they are different than all the others. They say you're not learning enough Torah. You don't read enough Tehillim. Pay attention. Or why don't you fast? You have to fast. You have to be much holier. You gotta go to the mikveh every day. Very good Musar, no? Beautiful lecture they give him. Oh, you have to change your clothes. You have to torture yourself. You have to roll in the snow. This is the way you're gonna be able to elevate yourself spiritually. They give him all kinds of strong instruction. And if you're not gonna do it like this, we're gonna hit you. That's what they say in a dream. He thinks he's speaking now to Eliyahu HaNavi. And please do not talk to anyone what we just told you. It's a secret between me and you. Eliyahu HaNavi tells him now. This is what he feels like. And then they continue to bother this person until they break his spirit and make him mentally ill. That's explaining you why there are so many people that got into religion in a weird way. They are not functioning right anymore. And then once he become crazy, the next thing they cause him is epilepsy. Like he falls down, he walks, and then he collapses and falls. The beginning, they come in a dream. Later, they come to him even when he's awake. Even when he's awake, he begins to see those images. And then, Rav Yehuda Ptaya begins his story. Pay attention. That's just for that. It was worth for you to come tonight. Pay attention to this story. He says, in the year Taf Resh Ein Aleph, 571. But 571, we are 5767. It's about 40, 50 years ago. In the month of Tammuz, after Tfilat Mincha, after the Mincha of Shabbos, the prayer of Mincha of Shabbos, somebody brought to me a little boy, 11 years old, that used to say that he speaks every day to Eliyahu Navi face to face. Every day. Face to face, not through a dream. He sees him while he's unconscious. He comes to him, Eliyahu Navi, and he's talking, and Eliyahu Navi speaking to him. Every time I want, I just mention the name Eliyahu Navi, and he comes to me. 11 years old. This story was in Iraq, in Baghdad. Oh, in the middle of the story. No, what do you think? The demons play with the camera. There's two demons involved here. One got you, one called you on the phone to attract your attention. To attack your attention, and the other one, okay. Nope.
This technology, demons also.
Yeah. Yeah, any questions so far? Yeah, go ahead.
Are all the dreams are coming from those demons or the demons?
No, there are dreams from angels, dreams from demons, and dreams from what a person thinks during the day. Three different kinds of dreams. Yeah. Oh, yeah, only Vilna that spoke to Eliyahu Navi is a different story. Now you're gonna hear the story, you understand how do you know if it's really Eliyahu Navi or not. Yeah.
Wait, so why did God create demons in the first place? For what reason?
It's a good question. Why God created chimpanzees? What does he need them here? To jump in a safari? Demons, you have to understand, some of these demons we create. We have the power by making a scene to create demons. That's what the Zohar says. The Ari. Some of the demons are people who turn into demons. Some of the demons are putting a custom and comes to us in a dream like the shape of a woman, shape of a scene. In the middle of the dream, a person thinks he just was with a woman such and such, and it was actually one of those demons. Are you okay?
I have only 15 minutes left.
15?
Yeah, so...
there will be enough for the story.
Okay.
Ah, so, okay. I'm telling you, the demon's getting very angry last year. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, let's go.
So, 11 years old, he says, Eliyahu Navi comes to him anytime he calls him. Then he says like this, I told the boy, maybe it's not really Eliyahu Navi. It's a Jewish demon that call Eliyahu, but it's not really Eliyahu Navi. Come, let me give you a special blessing that you get rid of this demon, he told him. And Eliyahu, that phony Eliyahu will leave you alone. So the boy told him, no, Rabbi, please, with all the respect, that's for sure Eliyahu Navi. For sure. Whatever you're gonna do, you're not gonna be able to chase him away. It's really Eliyahu Navi. After I prayed on that boy 3 times, I brought him into the room and I told him, I want you to call this Eliyahu and see if he's gonna come. And then the boy said, yes, he's right here, he's speaking to me. So he came back again. I took the boy to Rav Shimon Aaron Agassi. was one of the biggest rabbis after the Ben Ish Chai in Iraq, Rav Agassi. He was still alive. I took him to check the boy. And Rav Agassi said, it's really Eliyahu Navi. It's not a demon. And I said, I disagree with you, Rav Agassi. I'm sure it's a demon. And I told him, and we say, after the davening, Motzei Shabbos, we're going to go to Chacham Rabbi Yaakov. Who is Rabbi Yaakov? The son of the Ben Ish Chai. Rabbi Yaakov, okay? Ben Ish Chai's name was Rav Yosef Chaim. And this is his son, Rabbi Yaakov. To check him. After Rabbi Yaakov made all kinds of questions to this boy about what Eliyahu is telling him, he say, I have no doubt that this is really Eliyahu Navi. Now it's two against one. This is Rav Yehuda Ftaya telling the story. But I disagree with them. So I told them, give me one more chance to check the boy, one more time alone. I told the boy, tell Eliyahu now to interpret the sentence in the prophet Yirmiyah. What's the sentence? What's the verse? He gave him a very difficult verse from the Bible, from Jeremiah. He told him, Kidna temrin lehon, it's in Aramaic. Kidna temrin lehon eleha dishmaya ve'arka lo avadu yovedu me'arka u'minchot shmaya ele. This is a verse against demons from the prophet in Aramaic. And the demons, they understand Aramaic. You understand? So he told him this sentence, if it's Eliyahu Navi, it's an angel. 1, 2, 3, is going to tell you what it means. So he wanted to know if he's going to answer in Arabic, because they used to speak Arabic. It's in Baghdad. This story is about 60 years ago, something like that. So after he started to tell him, the Eliyahu told him, I'm sorry, I have to run. In the middle of the things, he said, I have to run, I will come back later. So the boy was repeating what he's telling him, what he just told him. So Rav Yehuda Ftaya tell him, no, tell him not to leave. I must get an answer right now, it's very important. Tell Eliyahu, please Eliyahu, don't leave us alone, Eliyahu Navi. Tell us what does it mean. And he say, no, I have to go. He said, please, don't go. Just stay, tell us what does it mean. Yes, no. Then he say, ask him, why is arguing with me already 2 minutes, if to go, not to go, and that period of time, it would take him 5-10 seconds to tell me what it means. So this is what he writes. This is what happened. Yeah? Okay. Oh, the demon went away, see? So, from that moment on, this Eliyahu, the phony demon Eliyahu, never returned to that boy. Left him alone. You understand? So here you go. A person may think in his dream, he just saw Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he just saw David HaMelech, and it's all these Jewish demons. So never get excited whenever you have things like this. Chas v'shalom, it could be dangerous. It could be the other way around. This is one way. Now, sometimes they lie in a dream. They give a person on purpose, they give him all kinds of lies. To fool him. To create, to make him do all kinds of weird things. And that's their pleasure. When Yosef stood in front of Paro, this is what he told him. Paro told him, please translate to me my dreams about the cows. And Yosef told him, Hashem is the only one who can solve the dreams. A person can only solve the dream and tell you what the dream means if he's 100% perfect, righteous, decent, clean, pure person. If he's so-so, the way he's going to solve the dream and answer it will not be correct. And it's dangerous because he may mislead you or interpret the dream in a wrong way and create for you an illusion. Or you may act based on what you think the dream means and it's actually the opposite. And so forth and so on. So he says like this. I hope this demon didn't get into one of you. No? Okay. Then, one rule in dreams, it's like this. Whenever you have a dream and you come to a person, you have to be very careful not to tell him about the dream. Unless if you know 100% he's your lover and not your enemy. He's not jealous in you. He's not someone who tried to hurt you. Or you get him angry that you're successful and he's not, and so forth and so on. You gotta be very, very careful not to tell it to a person that doesn't like you. Why? Because one of the secrets about this dream, it's hard to understand how it works, is that whatever the person says, when you tell him this was my dream, and he tried to interpret the dream and tell you what it means, if he says something bad, even if he's wrong, the dream turns into bad because of his mouth. The dream goes after the mouth of the person that hears the dream, or even yourself. If you wake up in the morning and you tell your wife, I had a very bad dream, it's very bad. You never say that. You say, I had a very good dream. There are few words to say when a person wake up with a bad dream. One is, Halomot shav yedaberu. Dreams are full of false. They are not real. That's one way to say whenever you wake up with a bad dream, this is what you have to say. If the dream is good, then it's very good. Because what you said is you're interested that this dream comes true. So you say, Chalom Tov, Chalom Shalom. It's great. Very good dream. Chalom Tov, Chalom Shalom. It's a peaceful dream, good dream, which is very good. If a person come and tell you a dream that he had, and you know from the books that this dream is, soon I'm going to tell you some of the meanings of the dream, of the common dreams that we have. If a person tell you a dream that you know based on the Gemara, based on Chazal, that this is, God forbid, a death in a family, or that he's about to lose all his money, you're not allowed to tell him, oh, this is a very bad dream. That means, God forbid, one of your sons will die, or you're going to lose all your money, or you're going to jail, or you're going to be sick. None of the, even if you know that that's the meaning of the dreams, you're not allowed to tell him that. You tell him you had a very good dream. Don't worry, you dream a fantastic dream. It means that you're going to be rich. It means you're going to be a big Talmid Chacham. It means you're going to see Mashiach. Only something good must come out of your mouth. Because the chalomot ilchu achrei hapeh, there's something unbelievable, hard to understand why. But whatever comes of the mouth of the person, that's going to determine if this bad dream will go through or not. Or if this good dream will happen or not. So it's very important to be very responsible. What you answer a person, it's very important to be careful who you tell your dreams. Dream that repeat more than once, that's already a serious business. Especially if it's close to the morning, then you know you have a very important message. However, today the generation's level is nothing compared to what it used to be in the time of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, dream was a solid scientific information. You know based on the dream what's going to happen, and we see through the Torah how important are the dreams. However, today it's not the case. Today, even if you have a dream that repeats twice, it's still not guaranteed that it's a message. We have to be very careful not to jump into conclusions. And this is what the Gemara tells us. Pay attention, I'm going to give you some interesting stories here. One is like this. There's one of the Chachamim in the Gemara in Perek HaRoeh. It says, I went with my dream to 24 specialists that know. They understand the meaning of the dreams. Each one of them told me a different answer to my dream, and all 24 of their interpretations came through. Each one of them came through. What you see from here, that what the person says after the dream has a power. It's one of the things, it's hard for me to understand why is it like this, but it's a fact. That's why you have to be very careful what comes out of your mouth. The Gemara says, and one place in the Torah it says, "Bachalom adaber bo." God say, "I'm speaking to him in the dream." That's what God says, which means I communicate with people through the dream. And another place it says in the Torah, Chalomot Shav Yedaberu. Dreams are false. They're passing false information. So which one is the truth? It's a contradiction. One place it says God communicate to us in a dream. And another place it says the dream is all false. So which one is correct? The Gemara asks. The Gemara says it's not a question. Here is by a pure angel. That's real message. Here is by a demon, which I just described. Then the Gemara says, "Kol ha-chalomot olchim achar ha-peh." All the dreams will follow the answer of the person who you came to. So you gotta be very careful. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If a person woke up in the morning with a verse from the Torah, from the Bible, that's a little prophecy. Rabbi Yochanan said, there are three kinds of dream that come through. A morning dream, a morning that his friend dream about him, and a dream that in the middle of the dream he got the answer to the dream. Which means, he had a dream, and he saw also in the dream that he went to the rabbi across the street, and the rabbi already told him the answer of the dream, and then he woke up. That means inside the dream he already got the meaning of the dream. Those dreams are for sure real. Then the Gemara said there's another possibility, a dream that repeats few times, same way, repeats few times. Then there's another kind of dream, as I just said, the person gets to think in the dreams what he saw during the last 2-3 days. So if he went to the doctors yesterday and today, he's going to dream about that doctor. You understand? Why do I tell you this? Because one of the bad dreams is that a person dreamed that his teeth or one of the teeth are falling out. It's one of the worst dreams. But first of all, yeah, it's important to know when he dreamed that. If he dreamed it at 1 o'clock, 1 a.m., it's not a bad sign. He dreamed it at 5 a.m., oh, it's already maybe a bad sign. But if he went the night before to the dentist and the dentist pulled a tooth, and now in the middle of the dream he dreamed that his tooth falls, right? That's not a bad sign. Because the Gemara just said, whatever you think during the day may repeat in the middle of the night. The Gemara says, a person that ate spicy peppers and drink spicy drinks such as whiskey, arak, vodka, all these kinds of things that warms the body, and was thinking about a woman, about a scene with a woman before he went to sleep, and then he went to sleep. If he dreams in the middle of the night that he's with that woman, that doesn't mean that there's any message or something like this. This is because of what he was thinking before he went to sleep. He came to him in his dream, and that's a big sin. He's going to get punished from that. Even he may think, hey, I cannot have control about my dreams. Wrong. This dream is completely your fault. I'm going to pay the price for it. But, sometimes in the middle of the dream there's a complete anonymous woman that comes to him in a dream. Nothing that he ever saw before. He doesn't recognize her, he never saw her before, or anything like that. What's the meaning of that dream? That's a dream, a completely from a demon. This demon has the ability to look the way he chooses. He designed how he's going to look. He decides to look like this woman, so he comes in a dream like this woman. If he wants to be a different woman, he makes himself a different woman. Look at the power that they have. And then he comes to him in a dream, and he has a whole story now with this woman. He wakes up in the morning, he never saw her. And he's whispering things in his ears like a little person that stands inside the ear and talks to him. This woman is speaking to him in the middle of the night, and this is all a demon. And then he wakes up in the morning and he wonders, who is this woman? What's going on? Now the question is, why did it happen to him? Because he's wicked. That's the bottom line. If this person is not righteous, then he is exposed to more of those bad things. Demons come to him with images. There's a book called Reshit Chochmah, it's pure Kabbalah, it was written 400 years ago. Very scary book. Over there, there's description what I told you about hell, from A to Z. all the places, all the sections, all the names of the angels, all the people, the angels are in charge, those who are under, those who are above, the angel is in charge of all the sections. Mamash like an army over there. And there's one sanction over there in hell, when they sent all the people who their mind was dirty, and they're watching dirty things, and they're looking at the non-modest ladies on the street, and because of that the demons has permission to come in the dream and play with them, and because of that they waste their seed and make other sins. There's a whole section for only these people. And who comes to take judgment from them over there? The same ladies, the same demon. He comes and he looks at them and says, wow, 20 years ago I had a dream about this woman, and now she comes and it's a demon. And this demon come and say, this person made a sin with me, and that night, why is it? Why? Why it's your fault? Because you don't watch your eyes in the middle of the day. Because one of the things the Torah is very strict about, and we say it every day in Shema Israel, do not let your eyes go free and see everything around you. You're not allowed. You have to watch your eyes very carefully. Magazines, TV, dirty movies, dirty things on the street, even to hear bad things, and all these things. If a person does all these things, automatically he is more exposed to these kinds of tragedies. Then if a person saw in the middle of the dream that the Jewish court put him in isolation, nidui, in the middle of the dream, that's a very bad sign for him. It means Hashem sent him a message that he deserves nidui. You know what does it mean, nidui? Cannot be a part of the minyan. Nobody wants to marry you. No one is allowed to do business with you. You're isolated from the Jewish nation, which means it's very serious. So what's the cure for that? If they send you this kind of message, lo aleinu, the message is right away to make complete repentance with all his heart. If he can fast, he fasts. If he can give a lot of charity, he gives a lot of charity. Even if it happens to him on Friday night, he's allowed to fast even on Shabbat, which is not allowed to fast on Shabbat, or to torture yourself in Shabbat. It's such a severe dream that sometimes there's permission even on Shabbat to fast. Then, if a person sees in a dream Sefer Torah that is burning, or that he is in the middle of the prayer in Yom HaKippurim, in Tfilat Ne'ilah, the last half an hour of Yom HaKippurim, when they open the ark and everyone scream Et Sha'arei Ratzon Leipateach, or that the walls of his home are collapsed, or that his teeth coming out of the roots, or some says Yom HaKippurim, it doesn't have to be Tfilat Ne'ilah, any one of the davenings on Yom HaKippurim, if he sees, that's already a critical message moments before the end that he got. So if a person had such a dream, lo aleinu, then he has to do everything he can to make repentance before it's too late. But I'll repeat it for the camera, don't worry. So, but if a person sees that he reads inside the Torah, or that he marry a woman, it's also bad. If he sees himself getting married in the middle of the dream, or that he's leaning in a Torah in the middle of Shul, that's also a bad message. But if a person sees that his cheeks falling out of his face with the teeth, even with the teeth, that's not a bad sign. That means all his enemies are collapsing. All the people who wanted to go against him, they are falling one after the other. The Gemara, the Sefer Hasidim, hundreds of years ago, more than 700 years ago, full of Kabbalah, full of unbelievable things. One of the things the Sefer Hasidim says like this. The Gemara brings us a story in Baba Kama about a demon that his name is Shaya. That's his name. And he comes to the houses if there's no mezuzot, or the mezuzot is not kosher, because the mezuzot preventing them from entering the house. That's, by the way, I'll give you a hint. if you ever move into a brand new house, you just build yourself a house, it's very important not to sleep there even one night before you actually put the mezuzot and make Chanukat Bayit, all the special reading of the Zohar, before you move into the house, because that special reading kick all the demons out of the house. They cannot stand that. Why are they in the house to begin with? Because of the Gemara that I just told you before. They like to come and hide in places that nobody is there, in new construction places. Never let your children or you go into sight of new construction, especially at night, because that's very dangerous. It can create tragedies. And when a person is about to move into the house, remember, this house was standing here until now, the frame, without mezuzot, all this period of time. You don't want to sleep there. Therefore, you make sure first you put kosher mezuzot, and you make the Chanukat Bayit. But if you moved into a residence that somebody else lived there, you know, even a goy, even a Chinese that had a Buddha in a closet, which is impure, the house, very impure, it's still better than new construction. Why? Because the demons are afraid to come to this place when the people live there. So over there you have up to 30 days to make Chanukat Bayit. Then you have few days to bring your mezuzot and put them in. But if it was vacant, nobody there, no neighbors, no noise, no nothing, you don't want to sleep there before you make Chanukat Bayit. It's very important. The Sefer Hasidim says that if a person had a window and he wants to knock down the wall or to close the window, to fill it with chitrak and close the window because the window bothers him or whatever, or there's neighbors, he doesn't want them, he has to make sure he leaves a hole, a little hole, even the size of a needle, little hole, not to close it completely, because the demons, these demons that are used to enter the house through that window, if you close their way, they get very angry at you. So he writes in a book, it's called Tzavat Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. There are hundreds of stories about these things. Somebody just came to my house 2 weeks ago on Friday night, he told me a story, mamash unbelievable, that someone closed the window and it was keep falling on the floor and becoming sick. He went to all the doctors, nothing helped, until he went to one of the rabbis and started to investigate him. Somehow they found out that he closed the window in his home, the whole wall. And he told him, go drill a hole. And he told me the person, that the moment he finished to drill, all his pain, that second disappeared. That second, not even a second later, as soon as he finished the drill, I left him alone. It's interesting.
If you have air conditioning in the world, take it out and close.
No, that's a different story. Because to begin with, they don't come from there. Ma'aseh she'asu Aaron lemet. There is something that happened. They made an ark, a coffin, to the dead person. They took pieces of wood and they built a box. And one Jew said, there's some pieces of wood from this place, I'm going to take it. He wanted to take those pieces and create himself a violin. A violin. They made violin from wood. They make a shape, you know. And they told him, the rabbis, don't touch those pieces of wood because it belongs to a dead person. His mind of the dead person is on those pieces of wood that they make him a box for his body. So he told him, Rabbi, leave me alone. He didn't care, and he made a violin from this piece of wood. Then he went to sleep, and he saw in a dream that this dead person, that this box was prepared for him, came to him and told him, don't continue to make violins from my box. Go get yourself different pieces of wood. So he told him, I'm sorry, who are you to tell me what to do? In the middle of the dream, I'm going to make it. I started already. I'm not going to stop. He told him, I'm going to take revenge against you if you're not going to stop. So he says, I don't care. Then he finished the violin. And he came to him in a dream and said, I give you last chance. Go take this violin and break it. If not, you're going to hear from me. He didn't care. What a brave, stupid guy. Sometimes brave people, it's indication of stupidity, you know. Especially young people. You have two sons, let's say. Twins. 10 years old. One is bragging that he jumped from the window, he does all kinds of brave things, and the other one is very careful, he checks 10 times, he goes around, he looks like a nerd. Who's smarter? The nerd. The fool will jump even from the third floor because he doesn't have anything in his brain. You understand? A fear, it's a sign of intelligence. Person that is afraid, that means his brain function right. A person that has no fear, that means he's a fool. You should know that. Unless he has some kind of blessing from Hashem, like David HaMelech was brave. No, that's a different story. But in general, it's not. Sometimes parents are bragging about their children. My son, he went to the roller coaster, he jumped from the third floor, he jumped from the bridge into the water. If he was wise, he wouldn't talk about this. So anyway, the dead person comes to him and says, listen, if you don't break it, I'll take revenge against you. Then he became sick. He stopped coming in a dream, he became very sick. Then his son heard that he's telling about the dream to the wife. And no matter which doctor he went about his sickness, nobody knows what to tell him. His son took the violin to the, he found out, he asked him, tell me the name of this dead person. Told him it's the person, he lived over there, they made him a box the other day, I took a piece of wood from that. He went and found out the name of the person, where is his grave. He took the violin without his father's permission. He went to the grave and he broke it on his grave and left the pieces on the grave. What happened? That day, all the pain and all the sicknesses of his father were gone. The moment the son did such a thing. This is information that came through the dream. And I'm going to give some examples how the Gemara speaks about dreams. This is another case. There's a person, a Jew, that was working in a duty, collecting tax from people who bring boats inside the country. And then, one day he died. He was very wicked. He was cruel to the people. People, you know, wanted to bring something in. He always went against them. Let me in. It's only a bottle of whiskey. Come on. No, come, arrest him, he's smuggling. You know, one guy, you know, they have these wheels that they bring sand with. What's the name of it? With one wheel.
Pushcar,
right? They bring sand. He comes to the duty and he brings one full of sand. He brings it in. So the people in the duty say, this guy for sure smuggling something. So he comes and say, hey, come on, you cannot walk like this. Let us check. They dig inside the sand, nothing. Okay, let's go. The next day he comes with another one. So this time he's tricking us. They check for 15 minutes, nothing. Then an hour later he comes with another one. Every hour he brings another one. They check inside, after 100 that they check, they got tired already. So the guy said, listen, no hard feeling. Here, I'm giving you a guarantee in front of all the people, I'm not going to do anything to you. I just want you to tell me, what are you smuggling in this?
The wheelbarrows.
So he told him, you fool. I already smuggled 200 of these wheels. Another guy brought refrigerators. Actually stoves. He's smuggling stoves. So they called him in a container. They saw a lot of stoves. So what is this? So, well, that's for my personal need. I don't have a business. Say, well, what do you need so many stoves? I say, don't you see I'm religious? Say, one milchik, one fleishik, one parm, one for Passover. Right? So he said to them, yeah, but what's this? He said, that's for Passover, milchik, and one Passover, fleishik. So what's this, the sixth one? He said, that's for Passover, pav. So, but there's another one, seven. He said, come on, for one you're making a big deal. So this Jew here, you know, he died. And the same day, one huge rabbi in that town also passed away. When they brought the funeral, they came, the two funerals came to the same intersection as hundreds of people following the rabbi and a group of, you know, little family members following this guard in a duty. And then the robbers came, the goyim came with horses and they were trying to rob all the people and everyone was running away and leaving the two bodies. The body here with this, right here, and the other the box is over there. One student was afraid that when they come back, because all the boxes look the same, they're going to mix the body of his rabbi with the wicked person. So he was hiding behind the trees, guarding the box of his rabbi. When an hour later, when all the people came back, they saw that all the religious people went to this duty guy, to the wicked person, and took his box, and all the family members of that took the rabbi. They got mixed. He was screaming, "No, you're wrong." He said, "What are you talking about? Come on, we know, we left it here." He got very upset. He said, "Why did it happen to my rabbi that only hardly minyan took him to bury him? And this person, this wicked person, hundreds of people go, they pray for him. What's going on here?" He got very upset. Few days later, the Gemara says that his Rebbe came to him in a dream. And he said, "Don't eat your heart. Come, I show you my place in heaven. And come, I show you the place of this wicked person in hell." So why did it happen in a funeral? That's what I came to tell you. One time, I was sitting and I heard people speaking Lashon Hara, harsh against the rabbis. And I was silent. I did not fight with them. And that was my punishment. And this person, once in his life, he made one nice thing. He prepared a meal for all the important people. For the minister of town, the mayor. And for whatever reason, they had to cancel in the last minute and they didn't show up. And he was standing in a street and calling all the poor people to come eat the meal. And few poor people came and took food. They were eating all the leftover from that party. And that was his reward, this kind of funeral. So the student asked him, "Rebbe, until when this person will suffer in hell? This person." So he told him, "Until Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach will die and go to hell instead of him." You know who was Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach? The most important rabbi of that generation. It's like you say, Chas v'Shalom, the head rabbi of the world today. This is what he told him in a dream. And he got nervous. He told him, "Why? What did he do? He's the biggest rabbi." He told him, "There are 80 witches, Jewish witches, sitting in Ashkelon." Ashkelon is about 25 minutes from Tel Aviv, south. And he does nothing about them. They do things against the Torah, and he never went to clean them from the face of the earth. That student ran to Rav Shimon ben Shatach. He told him, "Rabbi, this is the dream that I had. This is what my Rebbe told me." The next day, Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach took 80 strong guys. He gathered them all together. It was raining. He put a big barrel in the hand of each one of them, and each one of them had a talit that we put on Shabbat, hidden inside that barrel. And he told them, "Be very careful. There are 80 witches over there. Because the witch, like, you know, when you come to the Torah, you read that Moshe Rabbeinu comes in front of Paro, he throws the cane, it becomes a snake. Comes all the little Egyptians, the kids, they do the same thing. How is it possible? The Torah tells you that there are magics in this world. There are two kinds of magics: real magics and illusion. Most of the magicians that you see today, not most, all, whatever they do, they're tricking your eye. It's the speed of the tricks they're playing, and it looks like they're cutting a person to pieces and this. But there are also magics that really making an impact on the material, changing the raw material. What's the difference? The Gemara says that there was one Arab in the time of the Gemara taking his camel with a huge sword, chopping his head off, cutting him to little pieces all over the floor, and then go saying all kinds of words, and all the pieces come back together, and the camel walks around, and he makes, and people come put money in his hat, like in 42nd Street, you know, they put money, and he makes great business. So one of the Jews came to his rabbi and said, "Rabbi, what's going on here? Cuts the camel to hundreds of pieces and put them back together." So he told him, "Listen, when he does it, there's any blood stains stay on the floor after he puts them together?" He told him, "Let me go check." The next day he went, he checked, he said, "No, nothing." He told him, "It's all a trick. He doesn't cut anything. But if there was blood over there, that means they really like the Chartumim of Paro. The helpers of Paro, when they threw their canes, they were able to take the cane and change it into a snake." It's interesting, it's called Kishuf. Mamash Kishuf. Those Mekashfot in Israel, they were able mamash to do certain things. So the Gemara says that he took the 80 students of him, and this is the rule. When he comes, each one of them has to pick one of the witches up in the air. Because once they're in the air, they're not standing on the ground, they lose their power. And he said, so what do they need, the baro and the talit? Because it was raining day. And this is the plan. They went inside. Rav Shimon ben Shatach with his 80 students went inside. And he says like this. He left the guys outside. And the witches told him, who are you? He told them, I'm also a witch. A male witch. I came to do tricks and I want to test how good you are. Maybe I can learn something from you. So they told him what magics he can do. He told him, I can make hocus pocus and bring you 80 guys wrapped with talit, dry, brand new, even though it's pouring outside. They told him, how can you do such a thing? He told him, I have a trick. So he said, you want to see? He said, no problem. He goes outside, he goes like this, 80 guys coming in with dry talitot. Why the talitot was dry? Because they were in barrel. They came prepared. They threw the barrel. A second before they went in, they put the talitot. 80 guys run with white talitot on his head. So what's this story now? When they saw that this thing happened, each one of them ran without them paying attention and caught one woman and picked her up in the air. And then they took him out of that place and they hung all of them and killed them. Because this is what the Torah says to do to this kind of people. So what happened? The relatives got very angry because after all they were Jewish. So the relatives, they bribed witnesses, they came and testified against the son of Shimon ben Shatach to the goyim over there. And they were about to kill him, to hang him. So when they took him, there's two witnesses, they come, they testify against him. So when moments before they kill him, they say, hey, what did you do, Rabbi, that this is your end? So he says, look, I didn't make any sin. If I made a sin, that will be my repentance. And if I did not make a sin, that will be the end of those two witnesses that lied. So they started to get nervous. They say, we're sorry. We want to make repentance. He didn't do it. And they let him go. And that's how Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach got saved from hell after he killed these 80 witches. Now, why do I tell you all this story? Because all this was thanks to a dream of the student that was guarding his Rebbe's grave. We're almost done. I'm going to give you now, in the last 5 minutes, the list of all these special dreams that we may have. What do they mean? Three things when a person sees in a dream, he receives peace of mind, peaceful life. One is a mountain, second is a bird, and third is a bowl that you cook in it. Three things in a dream, that's a sign of peace. Three prophets, two of them it's a good sign, and one of them is not clear. What's the message? One, someone who sees Prophet Yeshaya, he comes and tells him, well, today, like I told you, after I told you about the demons, you don't know if it's really him or not. But if you see Navi Yeshaya, and it's really Yeshaya, you know, he comes to tell you, I'm the Prophet Yeshaya, then you know you should expect salvation. And if you see Navi Yechezkel, it's going to be the end of your exile. And the third one, Yirmiyah, Chas V'Shalom, even though I said before it's not clear, apparently it is clear, it says you should be worried from the future, because Yirmiyah is a sign of bad things that is about to happen. If you see one of the kings of Israel, that means he's going to become famous and great. If a person sees that he eats from an ox, he eats a steak or a piece from an ox, that means he's going to be rich. If the ox hit him with a horn, he's going to have two kids that are Talmidei Chachamim, great rabbis, his children going to be. If the ox beat him, then he's going to have a lot of suffering. If he kicked him, that means he's going to become famous. If he sees donkey, in the middle of the dream, then means he is going to have great salvation and he's going to be safe from the problems that he had. Someone who see a white horse in a dream resting peacefully or even running, it's very good for him. If he see a red horse that is resting, then it's a good sign. But if he's running away, it's a bad sign. Someone who sees Ishmael, the son of Avraham Avinu, that means his prayer is going to be accepted. Someone who sees a camel in his dream, that means he was supposed to die, but Hashem gave him another chance. Someone who sees an elephant in a dream, that means he's going to have wonders and miracles. Someone who sees that he's in the bathroom, in the middle of the dream, it's a good sign. Some of the things the Gemara does not say what it is. They just say good sign, bad sign. Don't ask me what, I don't know. Someone who sees that he climbs on the roof of the house in a dream, that means he's going to go all the way up to the top. He's going to become a mayor or a big rabbi or somebody important. If he saw himself going down from the roof down, that means he's great now and he's going to go down. He's on the way down. Someone who saw that he ripped some of his clothes in a dream, that means from Shamayim they just ripped his judgment and it's not going to be to take place against him. Someone who saw that he jumped into a lake in a dream and swim, it's becoming a big important rabbi. Someone who saw they take blood from his body in a dream, that means Hashem forgive his sins. Someone who see a snake in a dream is going to make some money. If the snake beat him, he's going to make double money than before. Or the snake killed him, but if he died from the snake, that means he's going to lose all his parnasa, all his money. Certain dreams, almost all the dreams are good in a dream. Orange juice, tomato juice, whatever you see, except wine. If you see wine in a dream, that you drink wine, it's not a good sign. All the animals are good in a dream, all of them, except the monkey and the porcupine with the needles, porcupines. All the fruits are good in a dream except raw dates. You know that yellow raw dates that they sell here in Rosh Hashanah in the stores? The yellow ones, not the brown. When they're still hard, sweet, it's fresh. Raw dates, if you see them in a dream, on a palm tree, it's not good. All the vegetables is good to see in a dream except leffet. How do you say leffet? One of these things you see in a supermarket, the hard roots. All the colors are good in a dream except light blue. Chelet. Light blue, it's not a good sign. Someone who saw in a dream a eulogy in a funeral, someone speak for the dead person, then you know he should have been one of the dead, but he was redeemed. Someone who sees in the middle of the dream that he screams, Yehe Shmei Rabba Mevarach, what we scream in a Kaddish, is guaranteed to have a part to the world to come. Someone who sees himself in the middle of the dream saying Kriyat Shema, he deserves that the Spirit of God will be among him. But the problem is that his generation does not have the merit. Someone who sees himself putting tefillin in the middle of the dream, something great is about to happen to him. Someone who saw himself praying in a dream, it's a very good sign. Someone who saw that he has relation with his mother in the middle of the dream is going to be wise, more wise. Someone who had relation with a married woman, engaged woman, she got married, she had ketubah, but she did not have relation with her husband yet, and he went and made a scene with her in a dream, what does it mean? It's a good sign for him. Someone who has relation with his sister in a dream is gonna get extra intelligent. Someone who had relation with a complete married woman after having relation with her husband already is guaranteed to have a part to the world to come. But that's only if he doesn't know this married woman and never thought about her. Someone who see wheat growing in a dream, that means this guy is going to have peace with someone that he had a fight with. Someone who see barley, that means he got rid of some of his sins. Someone who see the grape tree, his wife does not lose their baby anymore. Someone, or at all. Someone who see figs in his dream, that means the Torah that he learns will be kept in his brain without forgetting it. Someone who see olives in a dream, you're going to see later the recording, so you can write it down if you ever have, on kolyakov.org. Someone who see the olives in a dream, his reputation becomes better. Someone who see olive oil in a dream, that means he's going to see the light of the Torah. Someone who see dates, but not raw, old, the brown dates, that means his sins are finished. Someone who see a goat in a dream, that means this year will be blessed. Someone who see two goats, that means he's going to have at least two good years. Someone who see adasim, you know the adas tree that we have in Arbat Aminim? That means his businesses are successful. And if he doesn't have any businesses, he's going to win a prize somewhere. Or inherit somebody, something like that. Someone who see a trog in his dream, that means Hashem is proud of him. He's beautiful in front of Hashem. Someone who sees a rooster in a dream should expect a baby boy. Someone who sees more than one rooster will have many baby boys. Someone who sees eggs in a dream, eggs, that means his request is hanging before Hashem, but it wasn't accepted yet. If the eggs are broken inside the dream, that means Hashem accepted his request. Also nuts and zucchinis and all kinds of utensils that are made from a glass, if he sees them breaking into pieces, that means his requests are accepted. Someone who shaves his head in a dream, it's a good sign. If he shaves his head and his beard, it's not only a good sign for him, it's a good sign for his family as well. Everything that that person see, take in a dream from the house, it's good, except shoes. If he takes shoes, it's not a good sign. Time is running out, so we don't have that much time, but I have a whole list of many, many things that if a person sees them in a dream, then it tells you what it means. But we don't have that much time. What time we started? Before 9, right? No, it's too late already. Okay, so we'll leave you with that. If you're interested, there are plenty of books that explaining about dreams. The most important thing is not to get panic, especially in today's generation. Thank you very much and good night.